This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, 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 I'll guide you home with my lighthouse.
Welcome to Lighthouse of Hope. I'm your host, Michael Hempstead. I'm so glad you're joining us today. On today's show, we have Ursula, who has personal experience of mental illness. Ursula, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael.
And can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, please?
So I'm Ursula, and I'm a mum and a student. That's me at the moment.
Fantastic. And can you tell us, what are you studying?
So at the moment, I'm studying journalism at AUT in the city.
What do you want to do eventually with that?
Eventually, I want to be a reporter, journalist. So I want to be doing. I want to be a TV reporter eventually, or working in journalism in some capacity. So yeah.
Well, I really hope that works out for you. So you have personal experience with mental illness. Can you tell us a little bit about how that started, please?
I actually got diagnosed with it when I was about 15. So it was quite a while ago. I'm 29 now, so it was a wee while back. To be honest, I can't actually remember what triggered it or how it happened, but I ended up going to like a centre, and they diagnosed me with that.
And what were some of the symptoms that you started to see, and how did this present itself for you?
For me, it was just like feeling really like down and like no energy and like just not really able to concentrate on much, and just feeling really like bad about myself, basically.
So you said you went to a centre, and what was that like to open up about this for the first time?
Yeah, they just like ask you lots of questions. Basically, they just ask you these things for questions. So yeah.
Being asked a whole lot of questions, that reminds me of something. Oh wait, being on a radio show.
Yeah. Exactly.
I could do two jobs at once. Yeah. And what were some of the things that helped you get better along the way?
Well, for me, it's been quite a long journey. Between when I first got diagnosed and now, because when I was younger, I wasn't really able to recognize what it was and how I was coping with it. But like since that I've got older, because I'm almost 30 now, I'm 29, so. Since I've got older, I've become a lot better at recognizing, like, when I'm starting to flip back into getting depressed. So, yeah, I've gotten a lot better at figuring out my own personal symptoms and, like, recognizing when it's starting to happen. So, yeah, so I'm able to, like, stay on top of it a bit better, and I'm able to recognize, like, what I need and, like, what helps me get through it, I guess.
Great. And I think sometimes we hear stories of people that develop mental illness and then they instantly get better, but for you it was a much longer journey.
Yeah, it was definitely a much longer journey. Yeah, it's definitely not like an overnight thing, getting better.
Yeah, and I think that's really important for people to know, because I think sometimes people expect to get better very quickly.
Yeah, no. No, definitely not. It's like, often I find like there's just like, the two things that I found like really helped was like, firstly, like I noticed that there was like a lack of connection, like in my life, like connecting to like family and friends, and just like being able to have like a sense of belonging, I think, was really important. Because I got really depressed when I was pregnant, I found that after I had my baby, even just linking into like community groups of like other mums and like getting back in touch with family and getting back in touch with friends and like having that real like sense of belonging in your community like really helped. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also the other thing was like having a sense of the future as well, like knowing that like always having something to look forward to, I found as well, like really helped, like planning stuff out and like, yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately one of the things about depression is it often takes away your future thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because when you get into that space, you don't see anything like good about the future anymore. So yeah, that is one of the really hard things, is like trying to trying to see what there is to look forward to.
Yeah. And can you give us some of the examples of the things that you planned out that you could look forward to?
Well, just for example, me, like, with my uni, like, just enrolling back into uni and just, like, you know, trying to give it another go and trying to go back and graduate. Yeah, and just, like, but just, like, the small things as well, like, just everyday tasks, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be, like, the bigger picture. Like, it can just be, like, small things in your day, like, you know, going around to, like, your family's place for dinner, or just, you know, taking yourself out to your favourite place for lunch, or, like, just, you know, like, putting on your favourite music. Like, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can just be, like, little stuff that can just, you know, remind you that there's something better as well.
Yeah. And also that when people have depression, often even really simple things become overwhelming and become really difficult.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you've just got to really take small steps and just, like, just take it, like, be really, like, don't be hard on yourself, I guess is what I'm trying to say as well.
Yeah. And one of my other questions was, if you had one bit of advice for anyone going through mental illness, what would that be?
Just remember that things always get better. Like, even if you don't see it now, like, they always will get better. And I know that's, like, hard to think of at the time because you get, like, stuck in the mentality of, like, no, it's never going to get better. But there's always a silver lining for things, is what I found. Like, even things that appear bad at first, there's always something good that comes out of it.
So holding on to that hope that the way that things might be today might not be the way things are always going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And even the way that you see things, even if they appear to be bad, they might not actually be that bad.
Yeah. And I think one way to describe depression is it coats everything in grey, makes everything, you know, this dull grey colour and there's nothing good in it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And you said that you re-enrolled in uni, so does that mean that you tried once and it didn't go so well?
Yeah. So, well, not that it didn't really go that well, but I just, like, I've tried a couple of different courses, and I never really found one that was, like, right for me. Like, I did, like, the first year of a couple of different courses, and I just was like, no, this is not really my thing. So, yeah, I just took a little bit of time to find the one that was perfect for me. So,
and what were some of those ones you tried that didn't work out so well?
So, for example, I tried, like, film school, and I did the first year of a Bachelor of Arts in Media, which I found was not quite up my alley. Just a couple of different things.
Yeah, I think that's important to know that if you've made a wrong decision or you think this isn't what you want to do, that it's okay to change courses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like, I mean, there's, like, often when we look at other people's lives, like, we only see, like, you know, we kind of model ourselves and we think, oh, like, they've done things, like, the way that it's supposed to be. Like, you know, they've finished school and then they've gone and studied and graduated and got a job and, you know, like, we kind of model ourselves on the ideal version of other people, when in reality, like, no one, I don't think anyone gets it 100% right or gets it 100% perfect. Like, even the people that we do see that, you know, graduate early and go out and get a good job, you know, we don't know what's behind the scenes. Like, they could be having family problems or they could be having personal problems that you don't know about. You know, so, like, I think nobody actually gets it completely right. And then there's the other people that aren't 100% getting their career right, but then they've got a beautiful family, you know? So it's like, yeah, I think everybody's got something, you know what I mean?
Mm. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you mean that what everyone posts on Facebook about the perfect lives and everything always going well isn't the reality?
Well, I mean, we don't like to post when things are going bad, right? We like to post when things are going well. So often we do see what is, like, the what's the ideal version of what we like to post.
So
we just have to keep in mind that even if we are posting what's ideal, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's not other things that are happening as well.
Yeah, and I think that's really important to remember, because often people with mental illness feel like they're the worst at everything and everyone's better off than them, which often isn't the case at all.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing that we wanted to talk about on today's show was motherhood and possibly some of the unrealistic expectations. So yeah. Do you want to tell us about becoming pregnant and your journey through that?
Yeah, so I had probably the world's hardest pregnancy. Not in terms of physically, I was fine, but just in terms of my journey from where I was before I was pregnant to now, it's just been a real roller coaster. When I found out that I was pregnant, I didn't have a job. I was in between houses. I'd just moved up from the South Island and I didn't really have any, I was kind of just looking for a new place to stay. And on top of that, I had only just met the guy. So yeah, it was a real, a real shock. Things didn't go so well for me. I broke up with the guy when I was 6 months pregnant. I got really depressed and I ended up in the maternal mental health unit, where I spent some time there. And then I moved back in with my family, things started to look up from there. So yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster for me.
Certainly sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you realise that, a lot of people do struggle with pregnancies and they often do find it really difficult?
No, to be honest, having kids and pregnancy is one of those things that you kind of it's the ideal kind of scenario, I guess. You always think to yourself, I'll find the perfect person and we'll get married and then we'll have a kid, and it's this kind of happily ever after thing. But yeah, it's just one, it often doesn't end up like that. I was quite lucky in the fact that I got pregnant so quickly, but some people, they struggle for many years to get pregnant, which in itself can be really hard as well. So yeah. It is one of those things that you kind of, you envision it to be this amazing thing, and it often turns out not to be the case.
Yeah. And how did your friends and family react to this?
Quite badly, actually. my family reacted quite badly. They were not supportive at first. So it caused quite a sort of rift, is that the word? Where you I'm not sure, I don't know if that's the right word, but where you everybody kind of stopped talking, and they were not very supportive to start with, but they came around. And yeah, same with my friends. Because I got into such a depressed state, I stopped even wanting to talk to my friends, and I stopped hanging out with friends. And yeah, so yeah, it was really hard, kind of trying to deal with everything mostly by myself.
We talk quite a lot about postnatal depression, or what's now called postpartum depression, but there's also perinatal depression, which is depression through the pregnancy, which often doesn't get talked about very much.
That's the thing, as well as postnatal depression, which does get talked about, there's also perinatal or antenatal depression, which also is a thing that doesn't really get talked about. But it does happen to people for those same reasons, that they kind of have these expectations that they put on themselves or that other people put on them, and then it doesn't live up to them. They don't live up to them. So, it can be quite a hard thing.
And can you tell me about some of the expectations that you felt put upon yourself?
There were three main ones that I could think of. Obviously the first one is that, you're going to have this, perfect relationship, and it's going to be the right time, and it's going to be the right person and the right time, but that's an unrealistic expectation in itself, because firstly, there is no right time to get pregnant. Even when you think you're ready, you can never really be ready. You're not ready until you actually see your baby. and then it's a new thing that you have to learn. It's not the kind of thing that you can really prepare for that well. And in terms of having a perfect relationship, no one has a perfect relationship. There's always going to be something that you know, that's not quite right. So yeah, that was the first expectation that was quite hard to like, yeah, come to terms with, is like that it's never gonna be perfect. And then the second one as well was like, in terms of like career, like how do you continue having a good career, like how do you keep making progress, like, and that, you know, like that people kind of expect you to keep moving on, whereas in reality it's a big adjustment to make having a baby, and you do have to kind of like, you do have to change your life and kind of, yeah, get used to it a bit. And then the third one is also, I think, just in regards to your own like body, like your own personal image, like, yeah, like, I mean, there's a lot of expectation that you're going to be able to just like have the baby and then you just like pop back into shape and like, you know, get fit and look the same as before, when in reality you've just been through this massive ordeal, you've had to grow a person inside of you, and that's huge, you know. So yeah, like things don't just snap back into shape. so those are some of the expectations that there are, I think.
And
around motherhood.
Yeah, and you said that before that you met some other people that were going through a similar thing. When you talked to them about this, did you find that they were also having the same challenges you were?
Like expectations, like talking to people like in like mother groups and stuff?
Yes, things like that.
You know, it's not, we didn't really talk too much about those kind of things, like, because some of the, like, I find that these are kind of like almost like unspoken expectations, you know, like it's not really the kind of thing that you kind of speak to other people about. It's just kind of like an unsaid expectation, or like an unwritten rule or something. So yeah, no, we didn't really talk about those kind of things, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm really glad you came on the show to share that, because I think there must be thousands and thousands of new mothers, and actually probably fathers as well, for some of these things out there. And yeah, you're right, it probably doesn't get talked about, but I bet there's a lot of people that are struggling with these issues out there.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I can't be the only one out there like who's experienced these kind of things. So yeah, I think there are like a lot of just like unsaid expectations that we put on ourselves and that other people kind of expect of us. But yeah, we just have to like keep everything kind of in perspective.
Yeah. And over the last year, have you found any ways to either manage or challenge some of these expectations?
For example, with career, like, you know, with people expecting that you're just going to keep, you know, moving forward with your life and you're going to be able to keep having a good career. Like, I've enrolled back into my university, not full time. I mean, I only did half the workload, so I just did like part time uni, which even that I found was enough was enough to deal with. So yeah, like I've enrolled into work, and I have tried to keep moving forward, but just, you know, like keeping it in perspective, like you don't have to go back and do full time, you don't have to go back and do the same amount as before. But yeah, so I've just done that. And then in terms of like body image, like I've tried to, you know, go back and sign up for some like fitness classes and stuff, which I found were really helpful. I have tried to like, yeah, do my own stuff like that.
Yeah. And I know there's quite a few celebrities that have children, and then, you know, a few weeks later they're back to that perfect body image. Do you have any thoughts on that and how that sets people up with very unrealistic expectations?
Yeah, I think it does. It does sort of set you up for unrealistic expectations. I remember, like, like for example, when I like right the day after, or the day of, when I like basically when I had just given birth, like, your stomach, you basically still look like you're pregnant for the first, I don't know, for the first few days. Like, it's not like an elastic band where your baby comes out and then it just like, you know, snaps back to how it was. Like, you literally still look pregnant for the first few days, because it takes time to shrink, you know. And I remember a friend of mine like came to the hospital and they're like, oh, you still look like you're pregnant. And I'm like, yeah, I do, like, you know, like, and like you don't even stop to think of that. Like, you just think that, yeah, once it comes out, it's gonna just pop back. But yeah, like, I mean, that's not really, yeah, what you see in the magazines is, like, the, yeah, the ideal version, so, which have often been photoshopped. I mean, not all of them. Some people do get really lucky and do, like, you know, come back fast, and big ups to them, but so there's also a lot of people that don't, and that's fine as well.
Yeah. And is there anything that you think can be done as a society to manage this and help people through these expectations?
But just keeping things in perspective, you know, like, just, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, just keeping things in perspective that motherhood is, it is a big change, and it is, like, a big thing that your body goes through, and also that you, like, mentally go through. So, yeah, it is, you just have to keep it in perspective, I think. Yeah, and just not be too hard on yourself.
Yeah, and I think, you know, doing things like this, like sharing your story, even if it's not on a radio show or something like that, but sharing your story with others, because I think secrets have power when we keep them secret. When we talk about this openly, that changes things.
Because that's it, because I found that after I had my baby, like, I felt quite, like, almost, like, empowered, like, I was, like, kind of proud of what my body could achieve. But then when you compare yourself to the way that other mums look and how well they look, then you start to question it. But I don't look as good as that. So it's like, yeah. So, but it is quite an empowering thing. So you just have to, like, remember that even if you don't look perfect, you still have done something that is amazing.
That's a perfect note to finish on, as we're out of time, but thank you very much for your time today, and really appreciate your bravery sharing your story with us.
Thanks, Michael.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home.